In the last tutorial, we went over a plugin called Spectral Hold and created a buzzing drone with it. And in this tutorial, I want to build on that to demonstrate how relatively uninteresting sounds can be considerably enhanced with the addition of effects. So that's what we're going to do with that particular drone. We're going to enhance it with a series of effects, which I've already done ahead of time, and I'm going to talk through the effects that I used and how I've applied them, and we'll see how the sound transforms over time. So let's remind ourselves how the original sound was. So a mechanical buzz. We created this sound in Spectral Hold, as I said, but we did it by doing an apply /take effect to item as new take effect. That's how we crystallized the sound, keeping it there even when we close repossessions and so on. Now, in retrospect, what I probably would have done is applied a DC offset correction effect as well, because I've discovered since that there are actually apparently no zero crossings in this buzz at all, which means there are no very convenient edit points. Now, this probably means that there is some what's called DC offset, either in the original recording that was used as a source material or created as a result of the effect settings. What this means is that everything is basically pushed off askew by some sound, very low frequency sound, by some voltage that means it actually never crosses zero. If you picture a horizontal line bisecting a piece of paper exactly in the middle and a sine wave going up and down through it in a very curvy way, well, what DC offset does is it moves the position of that horizontal line so that it's not zero anymore like it should be. And so all the kind of readings of your wave are off slightly. And you can get plugins to correct this. There's a JS plugin. So I probably would have applied that to the track before I crystallized it, as it were. But it's too late for that now and not really necessary for our purpose, because we can apply a high pass filter afterwards. So at least that subsonic frequency won't make it into our final cut. So that's the sound as it was. The first effect in the series I've tried to use freely available effects where possible is MDA ring mod. And this is a ring modulator, a very simple ring modulator. It just has two controls, and they're actually basically two versions of the same control, a frequency control and a fine control. And the fine control just fine tunes the frequency. So I've put the frequency control, which moves the modulation rate in larger increments to zero, and I've adjusted the fine control, and this is what it sounds like after the application of the ring modulator. So before, so it's changed the balance of it, certainly put a lot more bass in it, which is good. But actually, I find that maybe there is too much bass in it. So the next effect in my chain is a corrective one, an instance of Ray EQ. And once this is activated, it sounds like this. Before. So we've just toned that bass down a bit with a low shelf filter. The low shelf filter is set at 57 hertz, and the amount of attenuation is -9 dB, basically. So don't worry about the numbers too much. Next in our chain is a really transformative effect. I haven't used this effect actually for years, and I was looking for free effects that I might use to kind of enrich and rebalance the sound. I haven't used this since I taught my Reaper Advanced Cavi course, and this is a plugin called Bass Professor. And activating this, we now have this. I like how it gives the high end more bite. and really can use this tool for a lot of spectral shaping. So we have, briefly, we have a Profess control, which controls the multiband compressor, a Dirt control for distortion, a sub bass, low bass, high bass, fullness, articulation, and presence control, and treble. And honestly, I've messed with these controls very much. I've actually turned the presence down a little bit and the articulation down a bit. So let's hear what happens when I turn these up. So with those turned back to their original settings, it actually sounds richer, it actually sounds fuller. At the moment, it actually sounds better with those controls turned back up, actually to their default settings of Unity Gain. So even with most of these controls at Unity Gain, it's still changing the sound quite considerably. But if I put these back to where they were, the reason they're where they are is because of the effects that follow. And after this, I have an instance of Ray Pitch. I wanted to fatten out the sound, see how various things sounded. I actually mainly put Ray Pitch in to see how the sound was going to ramp up and down if I turned it into a riser. But Ray Pitch actually became part of the static effect. So I'm going to activate this now. Before. After. What I've done is quite subtle. I've shifted the wet down one octave, and then I've only mixed a little bit of the wet in with the dry to give it a bit of a growl. So this is what it sounds like 100% wet. But if I turn this down back to 18%, the wet dry control that comes with all plugins in Reaper, we have just a bit of a growl. I'll dial that up so you can hear what the two things sound like in conjunction with one another. So I like that bit of that growl mixed in. Then I have another pitch shifter, and that is actually not doing anything at the moment. What this pitch shifter is going to be used for is in the creation of sort of risers and transition effects that I might want to create. So for example, if I manipulate the formant adjust full range parameter with the formant adjust full range parameter set at minus 24 semitones, we have a much duller sound, but we can bring up the upper harmonics very quickly. Into that very gritty sound when the formant is at plus 2 octaves, so plus 24 semitones. And I quite like that. Perhaps there is too much mid-range in it. And there's lots of things you can do with this. So we could use this as another enriching layer. We could dial the wet dry mix down again, as I did with the previous Ray Pitch instance. So now I've got some higher growl as well. Or we could put the formant adjust back to zero and play with the shift full range slider. So we're shifting the pitch now rather than the formant. And then we have, now that is quite artifacty at plus 2 octaves. So what we might want to do is change the algorithm of the shifter to better cope with this particular type of audio. So the algorithm is currently project default. Let's try a soloist. See, that makes it much more dynamic. It's still got some artifacts when you push pitch shifters to their extremes they're going to. It's a monophonic soloist at the moment. We could try speech. No, I don't think so. Doesn't like that at all. Try the rubber band libraries. That's the simple windowed fast pitch shifter. And the sound touch algorithm, which sounds just about as dirty as the project default, which is Elastic 3.3.0 Pro. Let's put it back to soloist. But what we can do is we can mix a bit of this in. So the artifacts will be less noticeable. So again, we've dialed in a bit of the wet to enrich this sound and give it some more highs. And then lastly, I've got another instance of Bass Professor. And what that is doing, I've got the Profess all the way up, and that is limiting this. So here's before. And here's after. And what I really like about this is that, you know, as we play it, because of the action of the limiter, it's fading in. And if we took this effect off and we put it on after a sampler, this would happen after every key press. The transient isn't brilliantly clean at the moment, but we could clean up the transient so we'd have this kind of thump. And then this fade in, so we're getting a synth lead type sound. So that's something we will investigate in the next tutorial and start bringing in Reaper's inbuilt sampler RS5K, Resample-Matic 5000. But for now, let's turn the Profess down. So I still like this second instance of Bass Professor. It gives it kind of more threat, more top end. And I should explain as well with the ring modulator, I set the fine control to 57 Hz to make it in tune with the sound. Let's go right back to the beginning and bypass the ring modulator. And then bring the ring modulator back in. But listen to what happens if we move the fine control away from 57 Hz. This is 68 Hz. So it's all out of tune and grungy. So we're going to bring it back down to 57 Hz, and you'll see how well the ring modulator still works. It still adds something, but it does it in a way that's consonant with the rest of the sound. Hertz, 58 Hertz, 57 Hertz, and likewise if we go down, it starts to detune again. To achieve, to crystallize the kind of things that I've shown you to make this a riser or production effect, which is where I'd like to leave things here before we start playing this on our keyboard, we'd just automate some of the things that I've shown you. So let's start by making a pitch-based riser. And to do that, we're going to expose the shift full range parameter as an envelope, a track envelope. So I've done that in the usual way. I'm also going to expose the formant parameter as a track envelope, which we'll come back to, and bring the wet control for this pitch shifter back up to 100%. So that sounds good and nasty, but being as we're here, why don't we do a downlifter first rather than a riser? So there are some horrible artifacts being injected into this. What I could do to control what the pitch shifter is doing even more thoroughly is actually put this on a send. Then I could put a bunch of filters on the pitch shifted output, so it would only give me the parts of the sound that I wanted mixed in with the dry. But this is one of the reasons, by the way, why I've got another instance of Bass Professor at the end. It brings out the top end in a way that I like, but it also, Bass Professor, has a low cut filter built in. So I have that set at 30 hertz to get rid of the mud that might be created by dialing in even a little bit of the octave down version of this sound that we have in the first instance of the Ray pitch. So I'm trying to build this stuff in a way where it all tessellates, where it all fits together, which is why I've dialed some of the parameters of the first instance of Bass Professor down. They sound good by themselves, but when you start dialing in lower versions of the sound and so on, it wasn't sounding as good to me. The richness I wanted was being provided by other effects in the chain, so I didn't want to overdo it. And that's the key thing to realize when you're building an effects chain, is not to let one of your effects do too much of the heavy lifting. Spread the load of what you're trying to achieve over multiple effects. And the other thing that I hope is coming across from this jamming is keep plugging away. Like, even when you think you've got a good sounding sound, listen to where you think it could go from there to make it even better. So we have this horrible sound. Again, let's see if we can make it good. So I want to find an impact to mix this with. So I'm checking out the Asonic Compass library, and they've got some really good impacts, which I think will complement this downlifter pretty well. I'm going to paste one in on its own track, and I'm going to turn this track down, and I'm just going to solo it so you can hear it. I think it sounds kind of spooky. I think it sounds heavy. I think it sounds powerful. I think it sounds like something this downlifter might gel with. So the first thing we're going to do, because we're lucky that because it's a downlifter and it starts high, we can keep the bass impact of the percussive attack, this portion. But when the downlifter is going down, it's going to be taking up more and more of the bass region, and it's going to have some tonality to it. So we want this impact to clear a space for it. Then the downlifter is going to become the star of the low frequency range. So what we're going to do is we're going to add an EQ to this track, and we are going to create a high pass filter. So we're going to shift tab in the FX chain window to the high pass place. But we are going to expose the frequency of that high pass filter as a track envelope. And we are going to make sure that the first envelope point, that which begins the beginning of the track, is not 100 hertz, as its default says it should be, but 20 hertz, the lowest it can possibly be. And we're going to start this high pass just after the percussive attack, so we don't want any high pass filtering of the nice bass of the initial hit of this impact, but we want it to start after that. And by the time it reaches here, I want it to have got to about 400 hertz. Alone, this sounds like this. So you can hear all the bass has been taken away. But now we need to bring in our pitch-shifted downlifter to go with this. And in order to do that, we're going to get to our shift full range track envelope. And by the time it gets to there, yeah, I want it to be at minus 12. But I think I want it to have a slow start end shape. So I'm going to adjust the first envelope to give me that. And now we have... And that sounds better. And then we can fade it out. So we can get volume envelope on this and fade it out. And I think we need to make this wide as well. We need to make it take up the whole stereo width. Now, there's two ways we could do that. One is with a reverb. One is with a wider plugin that will increase the stereo width. It's a free plugin by Infected Mushrooms, Manipulator's little brother. Let's try wider first. The beauty of wider is it's mono compatible. So let's put the amount up to maximum. I think I want it to fade in as well, kind of swell up. So we're going to do some more volume automation. Going to go in, and then just a beat in, I think will be enough. And we're going to go to zero there. So now we have, I think a beat was too much, so let's go for a fast start. Rather than having to move the envelope point, we can just change the shape. That's what I was looking for. But I think we want a bit more high end to this. So I'm going to increase the presence a bit, which was at -3. That's where I set it for the static drone on this second instance of Bass Professor. And we'll put the treble up a bit as well. A bit more, I think. That's more I'm looking for. Still sounds a bit artifacty, actually. So I'm wondering if it will sound better, if it will pitch bend better with a different algorithm. So let's try that. Try the rubber band library. And let's try the pro. Yeah, I like that. It's a shame because I prefer the end of how it sounds with the soloist algorithm, and I prefer the beginning of how it sounds with the Elastic 3.3 Pro algorithm. What I could always do is I could mix them together, I could create a send with another pitch shifter, and I could blend them, I could crossfade them if I was gonna, you know, really go all out on this. Now let's unsolo this and hear them together. I like that, and we could even make it swell up more. We could take the volume, and instead of going for zero on the second envelope point, we could go for -12, say, and then go a beat in and go to 0 dB. So now we have... Yeah, I quite like that, but maybe go for a fast start on the -12 point as well. Now let's try putting the multi-band limiter up on this Bass Professor thing. So now it gets too loud. That overpowers it. But we could put this at -6 dB, this third point that was 0. So we're going from inf to -12. We were going to 0, now we're going to go to -6. We could turn this track down by 3 dB, and we could put the multi-band limiter this up. Now I think we could afford actually to put the sub bass up of this second instance of Bass Professor to 3.2. I think we could actually bring the treble down with this new, and the presence back down. With this new algorithm, I don't think, and how we've got the multiband limiter all the way up. Too much down. That's better, it's got a bigger hit. Now there's a haw type note that I'm hearing that I'm not liking so much for this. I think it's coming from the impact, solo the impact and listen. Yeah, it is. So we're actually gonna turn this high pass down. I think we can get away with it being lower. So instead of going from 20 hertz to 400 hertz, I think we're going to try 250. But we are also going to find that oh, and take it out. And we're going to do that with another instance of Ray EQ set to band pass mode. And we're going to a very narrow 0.1 octave wide, and we're gonna try like 400 hertz maybe. Nope. Widen this out. So I'm actually going to notch frequencies around this out and see how that sounds. So we're just going to change this bandpass filter to a notch. Now it does sound like it has a bit of a hole. It does sound a bit unnatural by itself, but how's it going to sound with the downlifter kind of driving the tone of this that we're creating? Just experiment by moving the frequency of the notch around, because I don't think we've quite got it. Widen out the Q. Widen it a bit more. So, by moving the envelopes of my high-pass filter around, and moving the frequency of my high-pass filter around, so where it finishes, I've been able to mitigate that note that I didn't like so much. Now what I want to do is maybe reduce the dynamics of this slightly by changing the fade, I think is going to be an easy way of doing that. So what I'm going to do to glue this together is I'm going to put just a limiter that makes it louder. And if I wanted to animate the downlifter still further, kind of give it a more dubstep feel, might add a tremolo effect. Again, we got a nice JS tremolo plugin right here that I can automate the rate of. So we're going to automate the frequency of this. We're going to start the frequency at, say, 15 hertz and slow it all the way down to, let's go for 6 hertz. And we can shorten this down as well, so we could cut the end off. I love that kind of guitar squeak. We're definitely going to keep that, but we might... we might cut it there, delete that, and then fade it out, so. And change the shape of this fade as well, so that it out more quickly. So now we have something that is 4.43 seconds long, which is a good length for a production element. I think the downlifter might need some reverb just to kind of help glue it to everything else. So we're going to send it to a reverb. We're going to use a plain and simple reverb here. We're just going to use Omniverb, another free reverb, just to give this a bit more space. We're not going to be reverbing any of the low end, but I'd just like it to persist a little bit. So I want it to receive in track 2. Let's solo the reverb, low cut, put it up to 210 hertz, turn up the decay time. Unsolo this and turn the whole thing down. I think that kind of muddies it actually, so I'll turn the high cut right down. So I'm messing around with the room size and the density. So I'm messing around with the room size and the density of the reverb now. So I carry that tone on, but as little of the mud as possible. And to make sure the reverb finishes at the same time as everything else, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the master track and I'm going to find the end of this item, the impact item. I'm going to go to the volume envelope of the master track, put a point at zero and a point at inf right where the item ends. So now everything ends together nice and neatly. So we've made a little downlifter out of a very bad recording using a bunch of different processes, spectral hold, and then tailoring that buzz to be what we want. And then we've mixed it with a production element from a sample library to kind of round it out to make a more elaborate production element. But very quickly, we can make something completely different. We can delete this reverb, delete this production element track, so now we're just left with... We can delete the tremolo and delete the pitch automation and make something completely different. Delete this volume automation as well. We'll have a little bit of volume automation at the beginning to get rid of that dunk. Now let's make a shifted riser. So we're going to go to the formant envelope and we're going to set this to zero and then set this to one. And I think we're going to fade this up. So let's make it so that this takes a bar and reaches its maximum at the beginning of beat four. So if we turn this track down, and we could reduce some of the mud to a bit of a reduction around 579 hertz. We could use some kind of tremolo, but we could manufacture it so it's more in keeping with the beat, so we have a wobble. So let's highlight our volume pre-effects so it doesn't interfere with the fact that we've faded it right down at the end of the bar. Let's create a time selection at the beginning of bar 2. So from the beginning of the project to the beginning of bar 2. And now let's open Padre's LFO generator and SWS function by pressing O. And we're going to have just a simple sine wave. And we're going to have it in 8th triplets. We're going to have an offset of minus 25 so it doesn't get too loud. We're going to generate this, setting the segment time selection. And now we have... Okay, 8th triplets was too much. Let's try quarter triplets. Or even second triplets. That's more what I wanted. Change the volume, the fade-in that we have, from a fast end back to linear. And there we have a little transition effect, which you could put in, as long as it was in key with your piece. You could put it as a transition between the drop and the break, or the intro and the drop. And the great thing is, if you go to your project properties, change your time base, project time base, to beats position only, and change the BPM of your project to 70 BPM, and everything will slow down. And we might move that fade a little earlier to cut off that last triplet, which is easily enough done. We just select these two envelope points at the end, go back to the beginning of the project, move these back, and there we are, we've cut that off. We might decrease the mud a bit more by decreasing the gain for this band frequency slightly, maybe increasing the Q instead. See, now it sounds gravelly, but not too much. Let's turn it up a bit. We could play with that to get it a bit less muddy while keeping the grit. I want to keep the grit, that's the important thing. So we could widen out the Q a bit more, but decrease the amount by which we attenuate the band. Yeah, further. So we've moved the envelope points so that they will sync with whatever tempo we have our tune. So if we wanted to set this to a drum and bass transition, we could put the project BPM all the way up to 170, which is the BPM around which drum and bass functions. And it's a nice quick transition which would, you know, bridge the gap between the intro and the drop nicely. So there are, there's a couple of ways to convert a kind of boring seeming sound into something a bit more interesting. Hope you found it useful, and good luck salvaging sounds.